Go ahead and start by going to 2 Peter chapter 1. Over the past couple of months on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the Christian graces. So tonight our topic is serving our generation by adding brotherly kindness. And when we look at it, start with me in verse 5. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love, or in the King James Version, charity. When we look at the words brotherly kindness, they are translated from the Greek Philadelphia, which we can think of the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is known as the city of brotherly love. The Greek word Philadelphia comes from the Greek words philos and adelphos. Adelphos is the word for brother, but philos means a friend, an associate, he who associates with one familiarly, a companion. As we said, adelphos is translated often as brother, but its definition is a brother, whether born of the same two parents or of the same mother or father, having the same national ancestry, a fellow believer united to another by the bond of affection, an associate in employment or office. So brotherly kindness concludes, if we want to say it, anyone that is a member of the United States, anyone that we run into in our daily walk. So how can we serve our generation by adding brotherly kindness? I have 3 points. I'm not going to focus on all of them, but we can serve them by loving our family as Christ did, by showing Christ's love by our actions with our companions, by doing all things like we're doing them for the Lord, for everyone. If you want to, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, notice verses 46 through 50. Here we find that someone tells Christ that his brethren and his mother are standing outside. He was in the middle of a group talking, and then someone lets him know his family is standing outside wanting to come in and talk to him. Notice what he says in verse 48. But he answered and said to one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So we can add a brotherly kindness. We can serve our generation by loving our family as Christ did. We know that Christ loved his family. We can look at, if you want to put in your notes, John 19:26. Before Christ died, he made sure that his mother would have someone to take care of him. So he loved his family. He wasn't neglecting his family, but he understood that there were others who needed him more than his family at this time. He gave his family the same as everything else. Put in your notes John 7, verse 3 through 5. Christ didn't expect his family or even his brothers to automatically just come to him. He gave them the time that they would need to understand and come to the truth. Oftentimes when we look at our family, whether they are Christians, whether they have fallen away, whether they're not Christians, we just expect for them to take what we say at face value because we love them. We're not going to tell them anything that's going to hurt them. But at times, they need time to take what we're saying and think it over, mull it over, and then come to the point on their own. He's trying to tell me what's best for me. Christ didn't just expect his brothers to listen to him, but we see that two of his brothers wrote two of the books of the New Testament, the book of James and the book of Jude. At some point, they came to understand who he was and what he wanted for them. We also see that he didn't just make a special place for them. He didn't just say, "Oh yeah, here, let my family in." He didn't just play favorites with them. He left them on the outside instead of giving them special favors. Yet he used his family when they were ready. So we can serve our generation by loving our family the way Christ loved them. We can, We can serve our generation by adding brotherly kindness, by showing Christ's love through our actions to our companions. Put in your notes Matthew 5, 40 through 45. When we look at Christ, he didn't just tell his apostles what to do. He told them and he showed them. We can think of Christ washing their feet, and he told them why he was washing their feet. He told them that he came to serve, and then he showed them him serving. Christ showed his disciples how he expected them to act. He told them how to act. Write in your notes Luke 22, verses 24 through 26. We can act in the same way. We can add brotherly kindness, or adding brotherly kindness will make us act like Christ and show his love. Put in your notes James chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. In there, through James, we're told how Christ told us how to act. He didn't just tell us, he shows us. Later on in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, he shows us how to act. But even beyond that, if we were to go to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, he shows us how the early church acted towards one another, how they showed brotherly kindness to one another. And then he even shows that further in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. So we can serve our generation by adding brotherly kindness, showing Christ's love through our actions to our companions. We can serve our generation by adding brotherly kindness, by doing all things heartily as to the Lord for everyone. Brotherly kindness, love, as I've already said, the word itself includes everyone. This is why it's a Christian value. We need to love everyone the way that Christ loved us, the way that we even love ourselves. Without brotherly kindness, we are legally blind. Go back to 2 Peter with me. Go back to 2 Peter, and this time notice with me verse 9. 2 Peter 1 and verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So we're told that without the Christian graces, without brotherly kindness, we're blind. For those of us that wear glasses, we can understand what it's like to be blind. If I take my glasses off, I can see splotches of color. I can see certain people, but I cannot make out everything perfectly. But as a Christian, when I work on the Christian graces, when I build them up, like when I put on my glasses, I can see everything more clearly. We are blind to the fact, without brotherly kindness, we are blind to the fact that somebody helped us to be purged from our sins. Without brotherly kindness, without the Christian graces, we're blind to that. Just as whoever it was for us, whether it was your parents, whether it was your best friend, whether it was someone that you didn't like because they were telling you the truth, someone helped us come to the truth. And everyone needs that. They need to be purged from their sins like we were. Or else, we can look at 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and 8. They will have to bear the responsibilities of their own decisions. We can even look to Acts chapter 8, Philip and the eunuch. Philip just didn't come up to the chariot and expect for the eunuch to know what was going on. He went up to the chariot and he asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And what was the eunuch's response? "How can I except someone teaches me?" Without brotherly kindness, the person that taught us wouldn't have taught us. Without our brotherly kindness for our generation, other people that we have the ability to teach, that we have the ability to build up, will not be purged from their sins. Brotherly kindness includes everyone, not just our friends, not just our families, not just people that we love. It includes everyone. To be found lacking in brotherly kindness or any Christian grace is to be blind. Everyone needs someone to lead them, just like Philip led the Ethiopian eunuch. We can even look at the apostles. We can think of Paul when he had to withstand Peter to his face because of how he acted with Gentiles when certain Jews came. If the apostles can make mistakes and they need someone to teach them, we're going to need that as well. Christians at times are going to need someone to help them, whether it's to understand a topic that they're not as comfortable talking about, whether it's someone teaching them how to rightly divide more perfectly. And that's why we're here, to encourage one another until we see the day approaching. If you're here tonight and you are wanting to be part of that brotherly kindness, but you're not a Christian, you're not getting the full benefit of that brotherly kindness. You've already heard about it. You've done the first step. You've heard. You must now believe what you've heard. You must believe the word that tells you how to be saved. From there, you must repent. A change of mind that leads to a change of heart. Instead of following after what you want, you have to start following after what Christ wants from you. Whether that is telling someone else that you normally wouldn't tell about Christ. Whether that is stopping doing something that you really like. After you have repented, after you have stopped saying, I'm going to do what I want, and you start saying, I'm going to do what Christ wants, we must then bend all of our will to Christ. We must say, Christ, you are my Lord and Savior. You have the ability to save me. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Once we've repented, once we have confessed, we can then be baptized and remain faithful unto Christ. If we've been baptized and we've fallen away, we feel like we're struggling, that we're not getting that brotherly kindness. It's still there. We might just need to go and tell someone, hey, I need help. And we're here to help you with that, whatever it is, whether you need to study so that you can understand that brotherly kindness, whether you need to study to help someone else find that brotherly kindness. We want to help you in any way that you need. Let us know as we stand and sing.